This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Chris Graham and Scott German joining me. We're going to talk some ACC basketball, and we're going to debut something new here. Scott and I were texting last night about starting a weekly ACC power poll, and we've pulled Jeff Fife into the mix as well, and I'll be talking with Jeff on a podcast later this week, probably with some updates, midweek updates, as to these numbers. But Scott, I have your power rankings 1 through 15. I've got Jeff's. Still pulling mine together. It's been a busy day here at AFP. Lots of news, including Virginia staying at number 2 in the AP and coaches' polls, but moving up. Lots more first-place votes. And so, yeah, you know, we were talking right before we came on the air here, Scott. Number 1 and 2 pretty well set. And then from 3 to 15, there's lots of fluctuation. UVA, then Duke, and then the rest of the pack there. Now, your number 3 is Clemson, and I'm going to look at Jeff's here real quick. Jeff's number 3 is Clemson. Your number 3 is Florida State. Give me your thoughts. Florida State, number 3 in the ACC. Why do you have Florida State there?
I don't like Clemson.
I just think that
right now Florida State's a little better offensively. Maybe I still have a bad taste in my mouth after watching Clemson score 36 points against UVA. I mean, I don't care who you're playing, 36 points is pretty atrocious. I just think Florida State's a little more athleticism there on that team. I mean, in reality, there's probably not much difference, but I just give the nod to Florida State right now at this juncture in the season, halfway mark through the schedule, and, you know, it could flip-flop back and forth. I just to watch Florida State play and think they have a little more athleticism on the team.
I'll throw a wild card in then. So we've got Florida State and Clemson getting the votes for you and Jeff. I'm going to throw Louisville in. Now, Louisville's second in the conference right now in terms of record at 6-2. And I know they've got to play. They really haven't played any of the power teams in the ACC, even though they're only 2, Virginia and Duke, with Carolina suffering and that kind of thing. I'm going to throw it to Louisville for this reason. And Florida State is very talented, very athletic, and they're a potent offensive team. I don't think they play enough defense for my liking. And, you know, I guess it's maybe the Virginia guy in me. I respect teams who play defense. Now, Louisville's offense, I don't know that they really have much of an approach in offense, but they play such good defense. I want to give them the nod right now with the caveat that we will see them in person on Wednesday night. And I will reserve the right later this week to revisit that number 3 ranking I'm giving them right now. But I like their defense, and I think you're right. I think between Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, we all had them 3-5. I think you can go any way there. Clemson, I'm a little concerned about. I mean, they won last night at Georgia Tech, which you can't sneeze at that. You know, winning at Georgia Tech, a couple teams went in there this season and had hiccups. Clemson missing Dante Grantham is going to be a huge issue for them the rest of this season, no question about it. They're 6-3. They won the game last night. That's, you know, congratulatory. I won't hold that loss to Virginia against Clemson. That was the first game without Grantham, and also they were playing Virginia. But that said, yeah, I think you can go any way with those three teams. I do think, though, that between Virginia, Duke at 1-2, very solidly, those three teams, you can go anywhere from 3-5 with them. I think from there, then, there's probably maybe a drop-off from 5 to the next tier of teams, maybe 6-9, 6-10 maybe, is probably a pretty clear line. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think all those teams have some significant flaws, whether they're defensively challenged, offensively challenged. I think that 6-10 is the real difficult range there to group these teams. It gets a little easier when you drop below 10, and especially gets easy when you get to the final couple of slots, because Wake and Pitt, they're going to struggle to win more than a game or two in the ACC, just that. But, there's some mediocre teams in the 6-10 slot, and which kind of makes you wonder, just how many teams in the ACC are going to get bids this year to the NCAA tournament? It could be a down year for as far as numbers. Of course, they could end up having two number one seeds, but overall, I don't know. I was just looking at that last night when I was doing my little power rankings. What do you think? I'm thinking it could be as few as four or five teams.
I'm not sure about as few as four or five. I mean, I look at, so we talked about, you know, UVA, Duke. Louisville is about as solid, I think, from an NCAA perspective as anybody can possibly be as well. I mean, you know, anything can happen, but let's go ahead and rate them in. I'm trying to pull up the RPI rankings real quick. You know, looking at conference, I'm trying to pull this up here real quick. So you got, from an RPI perspective, and it's probably the last year we'll really use RPI as a metric, you know, Virginia's one in the RPI, then Duke is four in the RPI, Clemson's actually six in the RPI, Carolina 10th, Miami 16th, Louisville 20th, Syracuse 29th, Florida State 30th, then the drop-off is to NC State at 59, Virginia Tech at 67. So, you know, and what I was going to say without even looking at the RPI numbers, you know, I actually like State right now. Their resume stands out to me. They've got the win over Arizona, the win over Duke, now the win over North Carolina, and the win over Carolina on the road in Chapel Hill. You know, they are a team, though. I mean, I wouldn't write them an ink right now because they can go either way. I mean, they've got those nice wins. They've also got some ugly losses. I don't know that they play enough defense for my liking, but offensively, that's a really good team. You know, North Carolina, the name across the front of the uniform says a lot. They're, even though they lost twice this past week, they still only fell to 19th. Clemson lost once, won once on the road, and dropped from 18 to 20. So that tells you a lot about how, you know, the Carolina name brand holds. Miami, you know, their RPI suggests, I mean, that Miami RPI of 16, they'd have to really stumble down the stretch not to get a bid. Syracuse, the RPI kind of, to me, outplays what they've done on the court so far. They're 15-6 overall, but the RPI is 29th, excuse me. I think that really now you look at Virginia Tech, they're the team that's right now on the outside looking in. Their RPI is 67. That's right in the area where Boston College is. Boston College is 69 in the RPI. So if we're just kind of going by those numbers, I mean, there are 9, maybe 10 teams that have, you know, potential to get bids. And I think we should get 8, maybe 9 of those in. And I'm looking at it like I think that the strength of Virginia and Duke, both being potential slash likely number one seeds, maybe raises the boats for those other teams because, you know, nobody has a win over Virginia yet, but NC State does have that win over Duke. Boston College, which is a fringe team right now as far as tournament consideration goes, they have a win over Duke. So those kind of things will help. You know, if somebody in that 3-10 group, you know, can upset Virginia, which it's probably going to happen. Virginia's not going to go 18-0 in the ACC. So whoever amongst that group, you know, gets a win over Virginia is going to help that team out. So, I kind of look at it like 8-9 teams, maybe 10, but I think more likely 8 teams get in. And it's just a matter then of who between, say, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, maybe NC State, you know, who fall on the wrong side of the line. I think that's maybe where that goes, though. I want to get your thoughts on that.
I still think it's a little too high. But hearing you state your case, you make a good defense attorney, I guess. But I don't think 8-9, maybe. But here's just looking at the schedule and looking at opportunities. If you take NC State, I mean, we'll go back a little bit. Virginia Tech's win over North Carolina, that some of that luster went away when North Carolina lost at home to NC State. Some of NC State's win luster against beating Carolina could go away. If Carolina's got a tough schedule. They've got to play Duke twice. I mean, Carolina ends up with 10 or 11 losses, all of a sudden a win over North Carolina isn't carrying quite as much weight as what you would have normally thought. So, you know, the schedule, the season's still got a lot to play out. Virginia Tech plays D.C., I think, tomorrow night. Could that be an elimination game? If Tech loses to Boston College, if you look at Tech's schedule, yeah, they still have some games to play. I think they still have Duke. They still have Virginia. But what are the realistic chances of them beating Virginia or Duke? They play Virginia in Charlottesville. They lost by 30 to them, practically almost 30 points to them in Blacksburg. So, you know, that game tomorrow night for Tech, unless Tech were to pull a miracle and win the ACC tournament, we lose to Boston College tomorrow. And then, as you just alluded, one of those two teams right now kind of on the bubble. And, you know, if you look at the bubble, just because you're in that RPI rating of 65 or 64 or 60 or anywhere, that doesn't really mean that lot, because there's a lot of teams that are going to get NCAA tournament bids that are way below that because of the automatic qualifying. You know, some of these low conferences are going to get one team in that are, their RPI is way below, you know, 65. So, you know, there's a lot of schedule to be played yet. I mean, theoretically, Carolina could maybe not make the tournament. I mean, they got two games against Duke. They continue to play the way they played the last couple of weeks, losing to Virginia, losing at Tech, losing home against State. I mean, they're certainly trending down. I wouldn't think that Carolina would not make the tournament. You just, you know, when they're playing now, anything's possible. The other thing about Louisville is if they're a fringe team, do you think there's a remote possibility there might be some bias on the NCAA tournament selection committee to keep Louisville out of the tournament?
Yeah, I don't think so in that case. I mean, and right now they're not a friend. Now, you know, a lot can happen. The whole month of February has to play out. There's even a couple games in March. They're 20th in the RPI right now, though. You know, I mean, anybody can collapse. Anybody can have an injury or two or just start playing bad basketball and collapse. And, of course, like I said, Louisville really hasn't played – you know, they haven't played the toughest ACC schedule right now. But, you know, I look at Louisville. I don't want to call anybody a lock right now other than UVA and Duke. But Louisville's pretty – I would say pretty safe right now. I mean, they'd have to really collapse. I think Carolina would have to collapse. Their RPI is 10 right now. You know, they could collapse. I mean, they've not played well in the past week. They could be, but, you know, it's still, you know, they're still care. I mean, they haven't lost anybody to injury, you know, like Clemson. I mean, Clemson, I would worry about. And Clemson's RPI is so strong right now. I mean, a 6 RPI, that's just ridiculous for them right now. But hey, they've played a tough schedule, and they've got some nice wins, and they lost to Virginia. It was an ugly loss, but they were, you know. I would worry, though, because they've got that injury that would cause a collapse more than just, you know, a team that, like with Carolina's profile right now, just starting to play terrible basketball. But that said, I think you made a good point, Scott. I talked about Tech's RPI being 67, NC State's being 59. I mean, yeah, there are 68 teams that make the tournament, but 34 of those are at-large and 34 of those are conference champions. So if you want to get an at-large bid, 59 even for NC State as an RPI is way low if you want to get an at-large bid. There are teams that, you know, jump other teams because RPI is not a sole determiner. They don't just pick the top teams in RPI and that's automatic. You know, there is some subjectivity to it. But if you're 59, it's kind of hard, and Tech being at 67, really hard to justify. So, yeah, you want to be up in the 30s, you know, in RPI to have a chance. You know, to have a really good chance, I should say, to get that bid. And, you know, you talked about Virginia Tech. I mean, yeah, tomorrow night's game with Boston College for them, you know, I don't want to say elimination game quite yet because it's still early. But Boston College now, Tech's RPI is 67. Boston College is a 69. So Boston College looks at that tomorrow night and says, hey, we win that game. We're moving up the ladder. We got the win over Duke. You beat Carolina, but Carolina is ranked 19th in the country right now. Duke's still ranked 4th in the country right now. So, You know, Boston College looks at tomorrow night and says, hey, we want to get that win. If you're Virginia Tech, I mean, you got to hold serve. You got to win those kind of games. I know that, yes, they lost by 26 to Virginia at home earlier this month. They've got to have that game February 10th circled on their calendars in Charlottesville. You know, I don't think anybody who watched that game in Blacksburg earlier this month thinks that Tech has a chance, but if they get a win on the road at Virginia, that's huge. You know, you get road wins are massive when you're a bubble team. If you can, you know, Boston College and NC State beat Duke, but both those games were on their home floors. If anybody out there right now, and I looked at Virginia's schedule, really from the teams who are sort of, you know, on the fringe, whatever fringe there might be, Louisville obviously in Charlottesville Wednesday night, Virginia Tech in Charlottesville February 10th, and that's really it right now of bubble teams. I mean, because, you know, Virginia goes on the road to Miami, they go on the road to Florida State. They play Louisville again on the road March 1st. I mean, you know, right now, gold for anybody is a road win at a team like Virginia or Duke. And those opportunities are fewer and farther between the deeper we get into the season. And so, yeah, for Virginia Tech, I mean, they've got to hold serve and they've got to sneak something. They've got to figure out a way somehow to beat Virginia, which is a very tall order, to say the least.
Yeah, and the more you watch, the longer the season unfolds, and you watch the separation that Virginia and Duke are displaying, the likelihood of someone beating Virginia in Charlottesville or beating Duke in Durham is just not. That's a tough. If you got to do that to make the NCAA tournament, good luck. Good luck with that. And, you know, like I said, I think tomorrow night's game for Tech is could be one of those games. If they lose, they may have to be – they're going to have to come up with some improbable wins down the stretch, or they're going to have to come up with probably a four-game run in the ACC tournament to get into that – to get into the big dance. So, yeah, it's still a long – season's still got a long way to go yet. We're halfway through the conference, but yet – There's a lot of division taking place right now, and there's a lot of teams that are pretty much see what they have to do. And what makes it nice for Virginia right now, 9-0. We're just talking about gaining the number one seed. So you know, it's fun to be on this side of it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It reminds me of the quote from Mike Tobe from a few years ago when he first got there as part of that great recruiting class that included, Justin Anderson, I think, was in his class and some others. He talked about when he first got there, his first year, when they were watching Joe Lunardi updates on ESPN, it was to see if they made the tournament or not. And by the time he got to be a senior, watching Joe Lunardi wasn't about whether we make the tournament, but it was about whether we were a one or a two seed. And, I'm not used to that quite yet. I mean, it's nice, but, you know, I think we're still so new to this that it's something we don't forget that, we used to be wondering whether or not we were on the bubble, and the only bubble we're on now is one or two bubble, not in or out bubble. I'm looking at Tech again. Their strength of schedule is a big determinant for them right now. Their non-conference strength of schedule, 340th in the country, and that's what's killing them right now. You know, when you're 4-4 in the ACC, you have a win over North Carolina, but your RPI is still 67, right there where Boston College's is. That's why, you know, when you don't play anybody in November and December. One road trip to Kentucky, notwithstanding, that's why you're behind the eight ball. I mean, they've got to jump an awful lot in the month of February. They've got to make some moves, and not just winning those games with Boston College, you know, those kind of games. They've got to have a signature win, and those opportunities are fewer and far between. So we talked about the movement and those kind of things. Between these schools, I guess I wanted to look at Syracuse real quick. And actually, looking at, you know, I clicked on KenPom.com to help me out with that. You know, the projections right now for the ACC. You know, they've KenPom's metric system has Virginia finishing 16-2, in the ACC. Duke would be 13-5 right now, according to the way things would play out. Clemson actually projected to finish third in the conference with a 12-6 record. Then you get to Louisville, 11-7. And then you get to – that's where the things really bunch up. The projections right now of Carolina, Florida State, Miami, all at 10-8. Virginia Tech actually would be on the wrong side at 8-10. North Carolina State at 9-9, Syracuse at 9-9. That's probably your fault line right there. If Syracuse goes 9-9, they're 15-6 currently. That'd be five more wins. That'd be 20 wins for them. That would be 19 wins for NC State with a couple of marquee wins. You know, those are – I think NC State and Syracuse right now are probably your last two ACC teams in, and then Virginia Tech is your ACC team out, and they might not be among what Joe Lunardi calls the first four out. They might not be even close to that line quite yet.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a Tech fan, you had to be, or you should have been a little disappointed by seeing Carolina go down Saturday to State. I mean, that took a little bit of luster off of that.
Well, it was also, it was a win.
If Carolina continues to falter, it can continue to take luster off of it.
Well, and not only a win, I mean, not a loss for Carolina, but a win for a team like State that, you know, you're probably jockeying with right now, because at-large bids go to everybody, not just ACC teams. And so, you know, so Carolina loses, takes luster off your win, and then State gets a win and boosts their resume. That's kind of like losing two games, not just losing one.
Chris, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, where is the NC State-Virginia Tech game this year?
Let's look at that real quick. That game comes up actually next Wednesday, and it's at Virginia Tech. You're right. That's a that is a huge game for both those schools, and Tech has that home court advantage. But again, it's for Tech. You know what that is a tough one to. I'm looking at. I've got their schedule up now. They've got as far as road games of. Well, they got Virginia. Here's some indication that maybe Buzz Williams isn't liked in the ACC office. He does have two chances to get marquee wins on the road. They happen to be back-to-back games. At Virginia, Saturday, February 10th. At Duke, Wednesday, February 14th. Back-to-back nights. I think after February 14th, Scott, we'll know whether or not Tech has any postseason aspirations beyond the NIT, because you lose both those games, and I think Tech's done.
Yeah. Absolutely. So they've got the chance. I mean, they have chances. If Tech is the cut line or that position in the conference standings now, if you're a Tech fan, you got to feel pretty good because you still kind of hold your fate in your own hands because you've got games there that if you win, you're going to make a strong case for gaining an at-large bid. And if you lose, you don't deserve to be in.
Yeah, if you split those games, you're not guaranteed any bid necessarily. But if you split them, you at least give yourself a fighting chance. Looking at NC State real quick, their schedule, they got the road game at Virginia Tech. They've got Carolina back at home, which if you sweep Carolina, then maybe that puts Carolina on the wrong side of things. You're at Syracuse. And then really, really no other marquee games for them. Louisville at home to finish the regular season out. So, if you're NC State right now, you've pretty much got to maybe get a win at Virginia Tech, and then get the win at home against Carolina. And perhaps the Syracuse game on the road is a big one. That's what it gets down to now this time of year, though. It's kind of parsing schedules. You know, for those teams right now in the middle of that pack, and it's a big middle of the pack for the ACC right now, but those teams need to be looking at those kind of things. You can't afford a loss. Like if you're NC State, I'm looking at their schedule. Their next game, they have the week off until Saturday. They play Notre Dame at home, and right now Notre Dame reeling so much with all those injuries they've suffered. You can't lose Notre Dame. I mean, you can't lose to an injury-riddled Notre Dame team if you're NC State. You have Wake Forest and Boston College back-to-back games, the 17th and the 20th of February. You can't lose either of those games. You just can't lose. You got Georgia Tech on the road. I know it's a road game. It's in Atlanta, but you can't lose that game. You know, there's so all of a sudden you start look. You have to be looking at these kind of things if you're a fan of one of these schools and say, you know, we've got to sneak a win over a Carolina. We got to beat a Duke. We got to beat a Virginia, and we can't lose these games that you know you want to circle and write in red ink or whatever else. And there are a number of teams in the ACC right now in that same boat.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we've been discussing that basically how many teams that either of us think that is going to get in. And we go from what I said earlier, I think it's five teams, possibly. And I think you said nine or ten. So interesting how this unfolds is what's going to be, who's going to be closer to being right. And, you know, I think we could both make cases that it's possible that either one of us could be right. Because I'm telling you, the way the schedule unfolds, if you look at everything's scheduled, there's some upsets along the way in some of these conference tournaments where a team that wasn't expected to get in gets in because they won their conference tournament championship. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the ACC has as few as five teams in the tournament this year.
Yeah, I would be surprised if it's as few as five, but, you know, when I say 8, 9, or 10, I guess I'm talking more about the teams that are in the mix right now. It wouldn't surprise me if the number – I think the lowest number I'd go to is probably 7. Virginia, Duke, Louisville I feel pretty solid about. Carolina, just because of the name Carolina, I doubt they're going – unless they get an injury. I think if you look it out right now, I think Carolina's going to be in. So it's Virginia, Duke, Louisville, Carolina. Florida State I feel pretty good about, so that's 5. And then you get into making cases. I think Miami's probably pretty solid right now. Clemson's probably pretty solid right now. So that's 7. That's the teams right now that I feel really, really good about. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, NC State still have a lot of work to do. I mean, the teams outside of Virginia and Duke, everybody's got work to do among those 8. But I think the there's 4 or 5 that I would feel really, really good about, and then 3 or 4 that, you know, they can't have anything go wrong between now and March, you know, and between now and Brooklyn. And then there still is that chance in Brooklyn. You've got 5 days to make your case. If you didn't make it between now and then, you got five days to make your case then. But yeah, I think I'd be surprised if it was less than 7. But that's, you know, because the ACC now, this is it to be said too. Numbers came out today. The ACC has 8 teams in the top 50 of the RPI, and that's the most of any conference. So a top 50 of the RPI, so that's the most of any conference. So the strength of the conference kind of raises the boats. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is the strength of the conference is going to raise a couple of these marginal teams just enough to get them a couple of those last bids. That's my thinking right now.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, again, we talked about North Carolina, the letters across the front of the jersey. You know, the initials ACC does still have a lot of clout. So we'll just have to see. I'm not advocating that. I think that it would be great if it was only 5 teams. I hope it goes 8 deeper than that. But you know, another thing too, as far as someone pulling off an upset in the tournament, because everybody goes and your top teams get the double bye, it makes it very improbable that someone having to play 4 or 5 games is going to win that. It really may enhances those teams to get that double bye, because by the time they take the floor, on Friday or on Thursday, I guess, you got some teams that are pretty tired already. So, it's great that everybody makes the tournament, but in reality, it kind of really stacks the deck in favor of those teams that get their double bye.
Yeah, you know, you look at the standings right now, and Notre Dame, Boston College, Georgia Tech are all 3 and 5, and then Wake is 1 and 8, and Pittsburgh's 0 and 9. you know, teams who could play on Tuesday, Boston College beat Duke. You know, it was in Boston College, and you can say that that home court advantage, but, you know, they did, you know, they beat Duke. So, I mean, Georgia Tech, I guess, has played I'm looking at Georgia Tech real quick. They you know, their marquee win was Notre Dame, and that's another team that's in that mix right now. They actually beat Miami, you know, so they, you know, they've got to win over somebody in the middle of the pack at least. And then Notre Dame itself lost to Carolina by one and had a shot roll right around the rim three or four times before it dropped out at the buzzer. So, I mean, yeah, there's some of those Tuesday teams could then win on Wednesday. I mean, you know, because the teams who play on Wednesday, of course, are those middle-of-the-pack teams. Right now, Virginia, Duke, and then Louisville, and then Florida State or Clemson, you know, those are the teams right now competing for those double byes and have the best shots at the double byes. But we talked about Miami and Carolina and Florida State and NC State and Syracuse and Virginia Tech. I mean, those are all teams that any of those Tuesday teams could, you know, could give a game to on Wednesday. And, you know, that would be devastating. If any of those teams who have buys to Wednesday lose to any of those winners from Tuesday, that's it. I mean, you know, that's, you know, that the writing is on the wall. Get ready for the NIT. You're hosting a game next week, and it's not going to be one you want to be playing. But, yeah, so Wake and Pitt right now, I don't think anybody foresees they could upset anybody and get even to Wednesday. But, yeah, I think, you know, Georgia Tech or Boston College or Notre Dame could certainly, if they fall into that final, that first four, you know, the teams you have to play on Tuesday, they could. And actually, what is it? It's actually three games on Tuesday, so I was a little off there. Somebody, when you start doing that math, I said there are 10 teams that are currently in the mix for that's a consideration. There are 10 teams in the mix for NCAA bids. One of those 10 it would be 10, 15, 11, 14, 12, 13. So somebody, and right now it would be between Virginia Tech, Syracuse, and Miami, actually. They're all 4-4. One of those three plays on Tuesday. And Scott, yeah, I think there's a stigma. If you have to play on Tuesday, even if you're 10th place and you've got a nice RPI and everything else, and you know everything else is going looking good for you, but if you play on Tuesday in your conference tournament, yeah, that's not good. I mean, it's a chance to get a win, but do you agree? I mean, that's not something that looks good on your resume, having to play in the first round of a 5-day tournament.
And that went into my, believe it or not, went into, because I obviously had nothing better to do, but look at, and I'll tell you that little fun fact, what do they call them, factoids, or what do they call them on the Big Bang, I'm not sure, but anyway, I'll tell you that in a second, but yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. A couple of those fringe, bubble teams that we talked about in the ACC, as far as making the NCAA tournament, a couple of those could end up playing on Tuesday. And how do you make the NCAA tournament if you're considered in the bottom four of your own conference?
Actually, it'd be bottom six, but still, you know, and right now, the projection from KenPom.com, I mean, it's just a, you know, we're still a month out, but the projection would actually have, it'd be Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Boston College, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Pitt would be those bottom six. They all would have to play to advance to Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's you know, a chance for a win, and then you'd have to win again on Wednesday. That would be the key. You'd have to win again on Wednesday to play all the way to Thursday, and of course, by that point, you're playing your third game against somebody playing their first. So yeah, that's the way this works. I mean, yeah, it's punitive. But also, it's a benefit to those teams that play well. But yeah, I think that could be that 10th team, whoever finishes 10th, definitely has an extra hurdle to overcome as far as postseason goes.
So the little fun fact that I came up with from looking at the standings, and this is kind of goes to what I was alluding to a little earlier, that we're just halfway through. The ACC schedule, I'm not sure everybody's even halfway through. I think Duke is, you know, tonight probably begins unofficially the second half.
Yeah, that's right.
Looks like everybody's played. So here's the only certainties that I can see in just being a numbers person, and I kind of relate it to the old baseball standings at the end of the season when they start giving elimination numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Magic numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
So from, if you look, and I'm not going to bore anybody with details, get the ACC basketball standings out. Right now, the only certainties that I can see among all 16 teams in the ACC, and I'm looking at it again just to make sure, is that the only certainty right now is that Virginia cannot finish last and Pittsburgh cannot finish first. Any other possibility, there is everything else is within the realm of possibility. Mathematically, Pittsburgh is eliminated, and mathematically, Virginia is eliminated from finishing last. Now, if you look at the standings, you're going to have to take my word for it or prove me wrong, but if you look at the standings, and I'm looking at them right now, Virginia could lose all 9 games remaining and finish tied with Pitt, okay, because Pitt is already 0-9. Pitt could somehow or another find a way to reverse their fortunes and go 9-9 and still not going to finish in first. But anything else in between, anything's within the realm of possibility. So the only certainty is that Pitt can't finish first and Virginia can't finish last.
Yeah, except that we've seen enough basketball to know what we've been talking about the last 30 minutes or so, which is that two teams are unless something catastrophic happens, like, you know, especially for Duke, they only play really 5 guys. I mean, if Marvin Bagley gets mono, Duke is they're still gonna make the tournament, but they're not gonna be a number 1 seed. But or Virginia loses a couple guys to something or. But that said, I mean, if you're Wake Forest or Georgia Tech, unless the ACC approves trades, and you can trade a couple guys and future considerations and get you know, somebody from Kansas, those teams aren't going to get that much better. So the more we talk about it, and this is what's been good about this. The more we talk about it, the real race here is to avoid that 10th spot. There are teams between, say, 6 and 10 that have a great fear of playing on Tuesday, and for good reason. And a lot of work to be done.
Teams within 5 to 10 because right now the 10th spot is tied 3 ways. Miami,
that's true.
Virginia Tech, and Syracuse are all 4-4.
Uh-huh.
And there's also North Carolina State, North Carolina, and Florida State also have 4 losses.
Oh, and honestly, I mean, even the teams right now tied for whether it be 12th place, Notre Dame, Boston College, Georgia Tech, they're 3-5. So, I mean, yeah, right now between what I see right now on the conference, Carolina is 5th. I mean, Carolina starts the group tied for 5th on my list at 5-4. You go from 5th to 13th, there's a game and a half separating those teams. A game and a half separating 5 to 13. So, yeah, that's where things are going to move between 5 and 13. That's a lot, and there's a whole half a season to move a game and a half. That's where the fun's going to be this year.
It's going to be the second half of the season.
And
first game in February is Wednesday night. Is that right? Yeah. Or is it?
What's today? Wednesday's still the 30th. Yeah, still January. So, yeah, starting Thursday, and for us, I guess we don't play until the weekend in February. But yeah, I mean, we're here, and that's the fun thing for Virginia fans. Hey, all that other stuff goes on between 5 and 13. Let them deal with that. The Virginia. Yeah, let the bloodbath begin, and Virginia's focus is and just, you know, keep them playing good basketball, keep everybody healthy, and keep getting better until March, right? So
should be fun.
That's right. Well, it's been a fun podcast. I've got to break away as we're finishing up recording this. I'm gonna get ready to do another radio interview, But this has been fun. Scott and Jeff Fife, I want to thank Jeff for his contribution. We'll have that ACC Power Poll up later tonight on the Augusta Free Press website. I'll throw in my 1 through 15 as well. And we're going to do that every week on Augusta Free Press. And Scott and I and Jeff and I will all break it down for you in these podcasts as well. So Scott and I will be getting back together on Wednesday because Virginia hosts Louisville on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we'll, of course, live blog. I'll have some previews, getting you ready for it, doing my usual analysis of Louisville and getting you ready for what that team has to offer. And then, of course, Scott and I, after the game, we'll do our Facebook Live from courtside at John Paul Jones Arena. We'll have our Inside the Numbers columns and more. So a lot of ACC basketball. This is my favorite time of year. It's Scott's favorite time of year. I'm sure it's yours as well. Thank you for listening, everyone out there. And wahoo wah. Talk to you again soon.